Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our podcast helps to tell the story of the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history, servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas, who lived the gospel in his simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and the prisoner of war camp in Korea. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have our very own Scott Carter, who works full-time on the effort of the canonization of Father Capon in his role as the director of the Father Capon Guild and Capon's Men. Scott's played a key role in the administration and execution of our faith formation series, retreats, conferences, and many, many other events. He's interviewed the POWs who had served faithfully with Father Capon, and he's driven the organization of men's groups across the country and the world. Scott has had a long-time devotion to Father Capon, and it's safe to say that his approach to the saints is one that looks to them for their example, guidance, and their friendship. Scott is recently married to his lovely wife, Sarah, and we're pleased to be joined by him today for his perspective and devotion to Father Capon and the influence this remarkable servant of God still has today on him personally and on many of us. Joe Ferris is going to lead us with a prayer, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Scott and Joe. Welcome, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you very much, Jason, and it is with great excitement today that I tell everyone who's downloading, everybody who's listening right now, you are in for a treat of treats. I'm going to get a chance to talk to somebody I consider a good friend, and knowing myself and now knowing him as well as I know him, we almost come at this as two opposites. You know, what I keep saying to my children, as my children are discerning their future and discerning their jobs, I keep saying the key to life is knowing your lane and staying in your lane and being able to use the gifts that God has given to you and just to bloom kind of where you're planted. Not to say, we hear that all the time, but I have never lived that terribly well. I'm kind of all over the place. And when I met Scott years ago, I was always stunned at how well he uses the gifts that God's given to him. You know, you take that even further. Scott is one of these detail guys who understands details and uses details to give credence and credibility to the actions that he's taken. So it is a great honor. I want to pray. Our prayer today, I'm just going to ask you to just ask God to stir up and show you some of the gifts, maybe some that you've even forgotten about a little bit. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you for this day, for this opportunity, God, to talk about this great servant of God, Father Capon. I ask you, Lord, for the person who's listening right now, for you to stir up and renew maybe their understanding of the gifts that you've given to them. I ask you, God, to give them the confidence to be in the lane that you've placed them in and to move forward. So much of our lives, God, we spend looking left and right and worried about what everybody else is doing and forgetting that we were created to be with you in heaven for eternity. God, I just pray right now, especially for Scott, who's newly married. So I pray for him personally, and I pray for his marriage, God, that you just pour your love into his life in new ways today. And I ask you, God, to just be with us on this podcast, be with us for this few minutes that we're chatting. And I ask especially today for Father Capon to pray especially for our time together as well at the throne of God. And I ask all of this for the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Scott Carter, welcome to the Foxhole.
Thanks, Joe.
Good to hear your voice, not just at the end of the call, but at the beginning of the call. I'm so excited about that. So I'm going to jump in because I think there's a lot of gold in what you do and what you know. So I want to, first and foremost, everybody knows you as the guy, you know, kind of the champion of Father Capon. But I'd like to back up just a little bit. and just have you share some of your own personal faith journey with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up here in Wichita. I am actually an only child, so don't have any siblings, but a good extended family that grew up with, and so really made the family feel bigger. And my mom grew up here in a small German Catholic farming community, and my dad's from New York and was Catholic. And, so I was raised here, Catholic school my whole life. And I'd say, for the most part, I was a pretty good kid. Not a huge risk taker then. And I really appreciated the Catholic schooling, and I believed what I was taught, but there's always so much room for growth and personal growth. And I know there's definitely been a couple of times in my life where I really, had that faith crisis. I don't know if crisis is the right word, but maybe it is, where you say, is this something that I believe? Is it true? Do I want to follow it? And, gosh, the demands that Christ lays out are pretty challenging at times. And so is this something that I believe and really need to follow? And for me, the answer was yes. And obviously, I'm still trying to live that out. But I was blessed. After high school, I went to Wichita State University. I was studying engineering for a few years, but felt the call to check out the priesthood. So I went to seminary. Ended up spending 5 years in seminary for the Diocese of Wichita, and was really blessed with a great time for human formation, intellectual formation, and of course spiritual formation as well. And for me, when I look back on my life through the perspective of faith, I think it's kind of a journey of prayer. And even from a young age at the Catholic schools, I always heard that we can have this relationship with God in prayer. But honestly, I wasn't really ever sure how to achieve that. It's something that I think can be a little more challenging to teach. It's a lot easier to teach the facts of the faith. It's a lot easier to teach the prayers that we memorize. But we don't always do a great job of teaching someone how to pray, of not just teaching, but leading someone to encounter Christ, of fostering that encounter. Thankfully, I was listening that it was possible, and I was like, well, I want that. If God is real, I want to know him. It sounds like other people know him. I want that as well. And I think for me, it was a long journey to kind of feel comfortable that I got there. And it wasn't until towards the end of seminary, maybe even after seminary, that I was kind of like, oh, I think I've kind of developed some of that prayer life. It was after seminary that I read an article by Peter Kreft, I think it was, and he said that when it comes to prayer, the most important thing is just to do it. That was his advice. Just do it. You can't grow unless you get into the habit of prayer. But if you do, I think you tend to seek out the right way to pray, or you continue to look for it. And of course, we believe that the Holy Spirit is there helping us. And for me, I think my favorite passage of scripture is in Romans chapter 8. I don't remember what verse, but it says, or St. Paul says, the Holy Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, and God understands what the Spirit says. And so for me, that was a huge comfort, of saying, I don't always know how to pray, but I trust that the Holy Spirit will lead me there. And even at times when, gosh, I can't put words on it, the Holy Spirit's there. And then something that I need to remember more often probably than not is that, even God is love, and love itself can be a prayer. We don't always have to use words. It's, if we're loving, that's a prayer. And that's something that I'm still kind of trying to recognize. But I think for me, again, that journey of prayer, some people have great conversion stories. Mine, I think if I were to share one thing, it's that, gosh, I can encounter God every day if I take the time to pray. And sometimes I fail at that. I don't do it. But when I do, I guess that's not to say that I always feel him or feel him present, but you can tell a difference, I think, when we pray and when we don't pray. I think most people can. And that's one thing, and then I'll let you speak. One thing that my wife, I think, taught me is that God really is at work in our lives, not just in prayer, but really in the day-to-day experiences. And I think that's something I value. If we're looking for him, we'll see that he's blessing us. And it could be something as small as some material thing that we're needing, or having trouble finding. It could be a person that needs to come into our life, and maybe we have to wait a little bit longer than we would like. He makes us exercise our trust, but he does work. And it comes to big things as well. The miracles, ways that seem impossible to us, that God does work in our life and lead us. So I think for me, my journey is learning to trust that more, and learning to dive into that more through prayer, and obviously then going out and sharing that with others.
Now, Scott, a guy that's not even been married a year has already got his wife teaching him. I love that. And I love that you're learning that quick. You're going to stay married a long time with that attitude. I would love for you to first tell the audience exactly your role at the Diocese of Wichita currently. And then I think even second part of that, you're a talented guy. You've got a lot of skills and gifts. So what motivates a guy like you to leave the trappings of the world and some of the allure of the world and to kind of give all to this position that you have at the diocese?
Yeah, thanks. I'm technically the coordinator for Father Capon's cause for canonization, and as well as Capon's men. And I came on board after most of the official work as far as investigation was done, that was sent over to Rome. All the 8,000 pages of paperwork was done by my boss, Father Hotze, and some volunteers. And then I came on board to kind of just help coordinate everything, from helping the ladies who work up in Pilsen at the museum, giving tours, to coordinating kind of different events here in the diocese, and just different people who are interested in his life, and helping with the website and social media and all of that sort of stuff, as well as with Capon's Men, just the work that we do. If anybody has questions about how to get a group started, I try and offer some expertise and some advice and encouragement, and really just to work, with the retreat and now with the Foxhole. And I think, honestly, it's been a blast. It's been an awesome opportunity. When I was offered the position, or told about the position, I should say, I was working at a Catholic Charities, running a food pantry, and I enjoyed what I was doing. I enjoyed serving people, but it's hard to pass up. There's not many jobs like this where you can support that, really dive into the life of a saint, and then support his cause and helping other people through his cause. And so for me, I guess what motivates me about his life is usually three things that I talk about. When I think of Father Capon, I think about his charity, I think about the virtue of fortitude, and then I think about the virtue of hope. And I might add a fourth one there. I don't always mention it, but I've been thinking about it lately a lot, is his love of God and country. And so those things really stand out for me. I think his charity is pretty obvious, right? I mean, I can't even imagine the conditions in the prison camp and what he went through, but here he is, just being completely selfless to the point that, it ends up costing him his life. Is beautiful. There's something beautiful in that witness, and I think his love for others and his joy in doing it. The virtue of fortitude is something that we often think of his courage, because here he is, he's awarded the Medal of Honor and so many other medals, and he braved bullets on the battlefield. But that's only one aspect of courage, of fortitude. The other is really a perseverance. And so in the prison camp, this is a 7-month long thing where, man, you just probably get more tired every day from not feeling great, from the disease, from not eating enough food, from the cold weather. And here he is, he's up at 5:30 or whatever before the sun rises, making coffee for the men. He's continuing to wash their diapers, to pick lice day after day. I mean, all the things he did, that it wasn't just something that he did one time. It was something that he did continuously. And I think that's a great grace that we could use now. Everybody needs that grace. And then hope, both for two things. I think for God to be with us right now, and then also just for eternal life. And he lived that. He had the men that he served in the POW camp insist that they were going to make it out of there alive, that God was with them, that he hadn't abandoned them, that their families hadn't forgotten about them. But in the end, you know, he goes to the death house dying, saying, don't worry about me. You know, this is where I'm made for. I'm going where I always wanted to go. And when I get there, I'll say a prayer for you. And that's the ultimate witness of hope when he's dying. And so, you know, I think those things motivate me. I think there are aspects of his story that speak to us today. Again, his love of God and country, standing up for the religious freedom, standing up even for, you know, in a sense, the American ideal of the founding, the Constitution, that it was founded on principles that help us flourish as free and God-fearing people. The communists didn't have that. And he knew that, yeah, we're not perfect, but that there's something good here, and he wanted to fight for it. So those are things that motivate me. But honestly, you know, part of it too is just hearing from how he motivates other people all over the world. And I think that's probably the coolest part of my job is when I get emails from, you know, all 50 states, all over the world, people who are interested in his life, want to learn more, want to pray to him, want to bring a prayer intention to him, or they've received some sort of favor and even maybe, you know, a full-blown miracle through his intercession. That's what really keeps me going.
Yeah, I would love, Scott, before we jump into Capon's Men, I'd love for you to update us a little bit on where the cause is. And then if it's appropriate, maybe you can share some story that you know, of a miracle or some place where Father Capon's interceded. Because I think a lot of people always hear stories and wonder about things. So I think it'd be cool to hear one of those, at least from your perspective, and then maybe where we stand in the cause so far.
Sure. So as far as the cause goes, we're still pretty much in the early phases, but hopefully we'll be moving along sometime in the near future. So there's four steps on the way to sainthood. There's servant of God, venerable, blessed, and then finally saint. So Father Capon is still servant of God. He's been that way since 1993 when the Archdiocese of the Military Services opened his cause. The Diocese of Wichita took over in the 2000s because we had more resources to put towards it. So we've completed all kind of the investigation into his life and sent it over to the Congregation for Saints in Rome. And the first thing that they do is that they look to see that he lived a life of heroic virtue. And if they can say that, you know, he lived the virtues heroically for his, you know, for the majority of his life, then he's worthy enough for us to consider kind of for sainthood. But at that point, so then they would have the Holy Father issue a decree and name him venerable. And then at that point is when the miracles come in. And that's just kind of like God's affirmation that this person is in heaven, right? It's not just our own thoughts, but truly the supernatural that we believe in. And so it takes two, one for blessed and one for saint. And I'm pretty sure, I'd say 90 to 95% sure, that the second one has to come after he's beatified. So right now we actually have several miracles that we could send over for investigation once he's named venerable. But we probably won't need all of them. But one, we do have a couple that are pretty well investigated and over there ready. So hopefully the turnaround time from venerable to blessed wouldn't be too long, but who knows how it goes in Rome. So I can't really talk too much into those two, and we've already shared about Nick De La Sega's story, you know, here on one of the other episodes. But one thing that I'm always moved by and was a complete surprise for me was I would talk into Harriet Bina and some of the other ladies who work at Pilsen, and they would tell me about the number of people they had. I think they even had two people in the same day. Two families with young children who had prayed to Father for a difficult pregnancy. I can't remember if it was they had trouble conceiving or if it was a difficulty in the pregnancy, but both of the children came out okay. One was a boy and one was a girl, and they named them Emil and Amelia, I think. And apparently, Father Capon has an affinity for praying for people who have difficult pregnancies, and this is something that I was able to talk about on EWTN with Father Mitch, and just an amazing story. I think it's such a beautiful thing that here, this priest, he loved working, obviously, with soldiers and young men, but even when he was in the parish, I think his heart really was with the children. And this is that some way that he can affect change is through couples who are having difficulty conceiving. And again, this is not something that I would have expected from his life, but it seems to be a trend. Now, I don't know how many pray and it doesn't come through. I know that's, you know, a heartbreaking thing too, but it's really pretty powerful. I don't know. It's just amazing what the saints, you know, little aspects of their lives, their hearts that reach us only after they get to heaven.
Yeah, I think I can affirm what you're saying about little babies. It's amazing on that pilgrimage. You run into somebody pushing a baby stroller, and they'll go, "Oh, this is my little son, Capon." Yeah, you know, they have all. And you hear these stories over and over again. So I appreciate the update. I know everybody else does too, because we're all anxious and we're all asking for his intercession. And each of us probably have
me
tons
too.
Of these stories. Yeah, I know you do too. So, well, you don't want to work yourself out of a job though. So you want to make sure that
That's
you
right.
don't get it done too quick. But I would love to switch into Capon's Men, the other hat that you're wearing, because, you know, you've been around really since that started. And I know there are people that always ask me, you know, what is it? What does it do? How does it work? So what's your vision around that? And what does a successful Capon's Men look like? Or what are some things places you've seen it be successful, how they do it?
Yeah, so I think the way I look at it is when you look at Father Capon and his time in the prisoner of war camp, what did he do? He went to serve his men, but he was working to build them up. And when he died, he encouraged the men to continue on what he had been doing, to keep saying the prayers, to keep looking after each other, to keep, you know, sneaking food from the guards, to looking after each other, to not giving up. And I think that's what Capon's Men is. It's about men coming together and doing more than just maybe what the world tells us, or even sometimes our natural inclinations can be, to really diving into the faith together, to sharing one another's crosses if need be, but also to sharing our joys. I mean, there's so many beautiful things that happen to us that we don't really reflect on and think about as well as we could. And so for me, that's what Capon's Men is about. We started off obviously with the video series, and gosh, it's something I never thought I'd be doing, helping produce these videos. Now we have four of the video series, and we're doing the Foxhole. But really, I think the goal, the success, is if we can come together and learn to look after one another, to build one another up, really even just to trust one another well enough that we can actually share difficult things, what's going on in our lives, and be a support for one another. Because, and I think that's what, you know, the videos are designed for, right? We watch this together. We can have something to talk about with faith, and it helps us start to kind of open up, to peel back the layers and get down to the heart of it. And I think, honestly, that's something that we're going to need, especially, you know, in our day. And I, who knows, we've all been, or the church has been through a lot of difficult times, and it's hard to compare one time to another, or it's hard to know what's coming up too. You know, we may have some good blessings for us here in America and around the world, but honestly, I think as Christians, we're going to need that tight-knit group of people coming together. And obviously, we've probably heard the stats when it comes to men being invested in the faith, how big of an impact that can have on children and on families and really on the world. And so I think if we're able to provide that for one another, that's a success. You know, it's great to get his story out there as well. I love the fact that Capon's Men, you know, so many people have come through the videos, through Formed. I'm less worried about saying, like, oh, we've got, like, the biggest number of Capon's Men groups out there. But if we can share his spirit of taking care of one another and building one another up, I think we'll be doing well.
Yeah, I would say for me, that has probably been one of the great successes personally of being involved in Capon's Men for all these years, is we're friends. Like, it's not just a program or something we put together that would be cool or interesting. We've grown, kind of done life together. Like, I have a I would say it's a surprise. So Scott's probably going to be a little nervous right now because he knows I'm going off script. But Scott, one of the things I love is just growing in friendship with you and brotherhood and watching you. And as I said earlier, this detail-oriented guy with this kind of crazy, chaotic guy on the other end. But I know this is, you're not yet a year married. But you, I mean, I'm just so impressed and proud of the way you've kind of entered into the faith and now I'm sure entered into marriage. So say this for the young guys that have downloaded the podcast or maybe in that first year, like what are a couple things you've learned and what are a couple things you've been like, man, I wish I'd known that before I stepped into that. It might would have made that fight a little less or that disagreement. Share with us a little bit of Scott Carter's marriage advice. Not even a year.
Gosh.
Give it to us. She's probably going to listen to this, Scott, so you want to make sure you land this well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, honestly, I think, I mean, things have been so blessed since we've been married. But, gosh, I tell you what, it doesn't take long for your faults to be magnified. I think mine was on the honeymoon that was like, oh, gosh, that's okay. I'm already not, you know, not being as loving, as affirming, as as selfless as I could be. And so I think, you know, just knowing that, it's like, you know, I made these vows and I want to live them out. And I think to remember them and to go after them. I was actually listening to a talk that, a fellow Capons man had shared with me last week and was talking about how much really kind of everything that goes on in the house is the father's responsibility. Now you may have help. I mean, our wife is our helpmate, but I think for me, it's just motivation to do the little things, to not be lazy when it comes to, I don't know, getting up in the morning, to helping, to putting away the dishes, to whatever it may be, to really try and go on above and beyond with those things. But also, I think continuing to take the time to be vulnerable with your spouse is something that is so easy to slide out of. It was something that leading into a marriage was something that I felt we had a great sharing, you know, and did very well. And it's something that's continued, but I think in some ways, it almost requires more work when you're on the other side, when you're married. And so I think just being cognizant of it and seeking that out is good advice. Yeah, I don't know. There's so much I need to learn. So,
no, Scott, I'm impressed that you led with vulnerability. That's actually beautiful, especially having known you all these years, to hear you speak into that early on. And I think it's great. That's probably the greatest advice you can give somebody early on, right? It's just to be in the space you're in and to be completely open with who you are. So, Scott, there are people that are listening right now that are curious how they can get involved either with the calls or with Capons Men, or maybe even they have a prayer intention that they'd like to include, you know, Father Capons prayers. How can folks connect to you and get involved in this great, beautiful movement?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, listening to the podcast here, we try and tie in Father Capon a little bit here and there, but ways to keep up with us, probably the best way where we post the most things is social media, and primarily on Facebook and Instagram. For Facebook, it's Father Emil Capon Cause for Sainthood, and I think Instagram is like fr.capon, it's K-A-P-A-U-N. And then for Capons Men, it's just Capons Men for both of those. So that's pretty easy. Our websites do have some information as well, fathercapon.org. So that's a good way. We do have an email list that goes out as well if you don't have social media. So capensmen.com, Father Capon. Actually, I don't think I have a sign up on fathercapon.org. But if you sign up for Capons Men, you'll get some updates of how the cause is doing as well. So that's the best way. But honestly, when I think Jason has mentioned this before, but when we presented the positio on Father Capon's life to the Congregation for Saints, they said the best two things that we can do is to pray for his cause and pray for his intercession, so if you have a need, and then to share his story with others. And so I think those are the two things that help his cause. If anybody wants prayer cards or anything like that, I'm happy to send them out. I love doing that. It's one of the, again, like I said, one of the coolest aspects of my job is being able to hear from people who are inspired by him, want to learn more about him, or want to pray to him. So feel free to reach out through any of those means.
Now you sound like you hit all the main channels that folks connect at this point. Scott, would you mind praying us out of here? And I normally say at this point, and Scott will come in at the back end and close out the call, but you will pray us out of here, and Jason will come in and close out the call. But you know, I consider you a brother and a friend, and I want you to be assured of my prayers for you. I pray often for you. This first year of marriage can be tough and challenging as well, so I'll pray for that. And pray for the important work you're doing. I know I speak for a lot of people when we say you are a big reason for so much going on with Father Capon and Capon's Men and the podcast and the video series. So be assured of our prayers and know that we're praying for you. And I guess that's the same thing, but know that we're praying for you, and please pray us out of here, please.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, and thanks, Jason. It's honestly, thanks for all the affirmation, but I do truly know that it's the Holy Spirit at work, so that's the biggest consolation for me. As for our prayer, I'd like to pray just the prayer for Father Capon's canonization. So, begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, in the midst of the folly of war, your servant, Chaplain Emil Capon, spent himself in total service to you on the battlefields and in the prison camps of Korea until his death at the hands of his captors. We now ask you, Lord Jesus, if it be your will, to make known to all the world the holiness of Chaplain Capon and the glory of his complete sacrifice for you by signs of miracles and peace. In your name, Lord, we ask, for you are the source of peace, the strength of our service to others, and our final hope. Amen. Chaplain Capon, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Hey, I want to echo what Joe said early on about your friendship. The risk of being self-serving here, you know, I take the opportunity just to tell you how important you are to me and to all of us. We got to know each other, for those that don't know, back when Scott worked at Catholic Charities over 6 years ago. And ever since then, Scott, you've been a kindred spirit to me, and you've inspired me by your example. So thanks for that. One of the big things that Scott's also taught me as well is just how he looks at the saints as his friends, real deep friendship with the saints. And it's a lesson I think we can all take to heart. Scott's had a devotion more recently to St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. He got to go to her canonization, actually. And then in all of our case, his friendship with Father Capon, it's just entirely evident how important the saints are to you, and it shows in how articulate you are about the saints and these incredible examples of the people of God. So, Scott, thanks for that. When looking at some of the things you said, just a lot of fruit here. Scott said early on in the conversation, I want that, when he is reflecting on what really matured into, you know, what became his faith. I want that. And that phrase really struck me. Scott didn't need to make it complex. It was just about the reps, just getting in there every day and continuing to rely on the Lord. And as he said, the Holy Spirit interceding for us, and as Romans 8 pointed out. So just keep showing up and praying, and the fruit was there for Scott, and it'll be there for us. And we just, again, we thank him for all that he does for us at Capon's Men and for the cause. So I think our challenge this week comes from what Scott said around, I want that. The Lord gives that to us free of charge every day when he said, I want that, if we'll just accept it. And there's not a better example than Father Capon, you know, in terms of an example when you point to someone that says, I want what he has. Maybe ask yourself, would someone, a stranger, maybe look at you and say, I want what they have? And remember, guys, we can't give what we don't have. So at Capon's Men, as Scott said, we really do strive to lift each other up by who we are, what we quietly try to do. Not really seeking the limelight, but it's just in the quiet ways of asking men in our orbits that real honest question, how are you? So this week, let's consciously thank the Lord for our faith, really, really thank him, and let's pray for the grace to be the men God wants us to be. And then we find one little way this week to let God be God through us in some act of prayer or service to him this week. Maybe reaching out to someone you know who needs that little lift of spirit, that you are uniquely qualified to give to them. So that's it for this week. Thank you all once again for joining us. We're humbled that you've spent the time with us to grow a little deeper in your faith, and we encourage you to spread this message of hope and inspiration. We'll have another great episode next Wednesday morning, so please hit subscribe and watch for it. Until then, know that we'll continue to pray for you this week. Stay humble and stay holy. Servant of God, Father M.L. Capon, pray for us.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.